Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
This could be the start of a very long, legal, drawn-out process. But Deshaun Watson is not going to play at the start of the season. His six-game suspension stands. The NFL is looking to add on to it, and add on to it by a lot, I would imagine, because the league wanted an indefinite suspension with Deshaun Watson having to apply for reinstatement. The NFL had until 9 a.m. on Thursday to make a decision about whether or not to appeal the justice's decision, considering that it would undermine her in her very first decision. And that is exactly what the league decided. It decided to take a stand against the judge's decision to stand up for what it believes is right. And the judge wrote that the NFL proved that Deshaun Watson was guilty of sexual assault, that he posed a threat to the woman around him, and that he compromised the integrity of the National Football League. And six games is not enough in the NFL eyes.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, live in St. Joseph, Missouri, inside Barely's Bar. That's right. I'm out of the room. I'm in the bar at Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center. Oh, boy. We have a makeshift broadcast studio here in Barely's Bar, thanks to my on-site technician, Susan St. John, who has been my caretaker. Now she's, for some reason, moving other furniture around in here inside the bar, rearranging things. We have moved tables. We have made this into... What are you doing? What's going on over here? Come here. No, I got a headset for you. You're my first interview. Just for a minute. Oh, now she's mad. Ooh, you got to see the look on her face right now. But I love her, so she can't stay mad at me. Oh, she can, actually. Just for a minute, though. And so we're going to have Jessie Newell. Oh, she just cursed at me. I got her breath. You can't do that on the air, babe. Okay, get that mic right up there. Let me see. Let's see if you can hear this wonderful woman who's... Say hello to Nate Buchanan, please.
Well, good morning, Nate.
Well, good morning, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Oh, she's not great. She's not great. She's had it.
I'm up early. It's nice.
She's had it.
Is it nice?
She's going to tell you something.
She's
had it with me. She's had it with me.
Yeah.
And so you can confirm the back injury is, get that mic right up, the back injury is something that's, it's a family injury. We've all had to deal with it, right? You've had a lot on your plate up here, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Get that mic right up there.
Yes, I have.
You're from the radio family, honey. We know how to do this. And so I just want to give her credit because she had to get up here. And so I've been able to do the show in the room. And yesterday I tried to come down here to the bar, and it was just, you know, I can't get around, Nate. And it's just bad. This is as bad as it's ever been. And so I've had treatment. She's laughing because there's something about me being in pain that triggers the giggles out of Susan St. John. She likes it. She enjoyed watching me get the treatment, the back treatment the other day, and when I would yelp, she'd get a little chuckle. But so she got up early. She's been helping me. She came down here and she put the equipment together. All, you know, she didn't need any instruction, the new tie line and everything else. So I kind of feel like maybe if we're looking for someone and she's looking for a part-time job, then she's qualified. I mean, I don't know, Nate. You could do a lot worse than having Susan St. John set up your remotes. That's just me thinking out loud. But she set this thing up. She brought tables over. She wanted to look nice. She goes, where's your guest going to sit? Well, let me get this chair over here. Let me pull this table over here. And not only was she concerned about setting up the equipment, but she was thinking about the guest. She was thinking about how it looked. That's a lot more than we usually get at remotes, Nate. So I don't know. I'm just telling you. Chad Boger, if you're out, she's available maybe for some part-time hours during the school year. During the school year. And so, Nate, your reaction to that, is that something that we should pursue at all?
Well, I don't know if we can afford her, but yeah.
Right.
I mean, 100%. Yeah. If she's interested in the job, she's hired, like, on the spot. No interview necessary.
What about your end here? What do you, does this sound like something that might tickle your fancy? Are you still very angry at me for asking you to come over here to get on the show, or... Come on, honey.
No, I'm not angry about you asking me to be here today.
All right. Are you at least having some fun? You've had a chance to go shopping a little bit. Is it some fun up here besides taking care of me?
Yeah, I like St. Joe.
Yeah,
you've gone. It's beautiful up here.
I'd be happy to do that in a private meeting with you.
Did a little swimming and everything else, you know. So that's all. I just wanted to publicly thank you, because I could not have been doing this without you.
You're welcome.
Did you guys do some back to school shopping at the, what's the mall there?
East Hills Mall. We're waiting because it's tax-free weekend coming up, and so we're just patiently waiting for that. But the Dillard's clearance, they're having a clearance sale, so they're closing. It seems like they've been closing for a couple of years now, but they're having a going out of business sale. So that's apparently a very slow process to go out of business up here. So, you know, we're gonna hit that. And I haven't been able to get around and go shopping with them. But my back feels better because they did take my wallet from me, so I haven't had to carry that. So they're good with me not going. Right? Is that okay? So we've done some shopping. Everything's good.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, there you go. Well, thank you so much. I would not be on the air down here to be able to have Jesse Newell live on the show. And I know that you've been getting mad at me and frustrated with me. I love you very much. I want all of Kansas City to know that. Okay? And you are one hell of a... You can't just nod on the radio. See, at that point, you might say, I love you too, Stephen, but I don't know. I don't want to force you to say... I don't want to lead the witness here.
Yes, I do love you too.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to confirm that. All right.
I think all of Kansas City loves you right now, Susan, because this show's not the same if Stephen St. John's not on the air. This is the man that drives.
Thank you, Nate.
He's the straw that stirs the drink in this town.
Well, she stirs my drink. She's had to do a little everything for me. So thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
Right, right. And yes, I will say hello to Travis Kelce again for the fourth time this week.
Oh my
goodness. He does look like he's in shape. He does look like he lifts weights. And yes, they're all still wearing tight pants. So I mean,
oh my goodness.
The same questions you ask. It's the same answer every training camp, Sue. That's all I can tell you. Sue, thank you very much. Might I ask you to come back down here around 8:15 or 8:20-ish to help me break down the equipment?
I'll be here.
You can meet Jesse Newell. How about that?
That'd be awesome.
Wouldn't it? It'd be great. She's very excited to meet Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star.
Well,
he'll be down here.
You should be. And another thing real quick, just because, you know, Marco is still learning the ropes around here. Is this your first time running the show for training camp, right, Mark? Like, Marco, like, as we...
First one.
Yeah, so he's learning the East Hills Mall. I had to teach him where this little beautiful gem is that we play on the show.
East Hills, we're back to school. Denim, haircut, backpacks, backpacks, come get your backpacks.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
New shoes.
Get yourself an outfit.
Denim.
Boots and pants and boots and pants.
Haircut. New shoes. So get yourself back to school with East Hills.
A little back to school shopping there, Susan.
She actually is going to go get a haircut later.
There you go. See?
Yes.
She is going to. What about any chance you're going to get some denim?
Possibly. Anything,
right? Maybe some denim.
Denim's
some
back.
Backpacks.
Boots, I mean, and
that's all on. That's, I don't know, maybe boots. Mm-hmm. But that's all on the list right there. What time is it? Said the haircut's at 3, right?
Yes, sir.
Haircut.
Yeah.
She was dancing to that, so she's very excited by this.
Chiropractors.
Yes.
Yeah.
My back is out.
Therapist.
I can't move.
Painkillers.
Right. Do you have any more?
Shots and pills and shots and pills.
Right. Well, there we go. I could use a couple if anyone's got any.
If you don't laugh, you'll cry, Stephen. You know, we got...
I've done both. I have done both. So thank you. Susan, I will let you go. I know that Julie will probably be getting up ready to come down here to the Chuck Wagon to have the delicious. And that's, hey, when you stay at Stony Creek, the delicious hot breakfast. We've had everything from croissant sandwiches to they got mini pancakes. They got the eggs. They got bacon. Yesterday it was biscuits and gravy with potatoes and eggs. It is a delicious breakfast. So if you're coming up here to go to training camp, there's no place else you should stay than Stony Creek Hotel. That's it. There's no place else, right? Is the breakfast not good?
Oh, yeah, it's delicious.
Delicious, she says. You see that? And that's a mother of many kids that need to be fed, all right, so that she knows, and a radio host that needs to be fed. Susan, I love you. I'll let you go back to the room. Please don't curse me out later. We're good? Shake my hand.
Yes.
I'd kiss you on the air, but I know that that's taking it one step too far. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome.
As Susan returns to the family bunk bed suite to see if the twins want to get up and go to breakfast. See there? How about that? I'm living my life out there for you, Kansas City, just to let you know what I'm going through. And all kidding aside, I would not be able to do any of this stuff without Susan. She's been awesome up here, and she did really set up the equipment really well. I mean, I don't know.
I'm quite sure of it.
You know. I've told her $15 an hour. So I'm paying her $15 an hour up here. She asked for a raise, but we'll talk about it. You know, she's the one's got my wallet. I need to ask for a raise.
Right.
She got all the dough. How's everyone doing back there? I'm in tremendous pain, but I love you. So, and I'm talking to you, Nate. I love you too.
Well, we love you, and honestly, you know, we just hope we're glad that you're fighting through it to give us the latest in training camp coverage. You know what I mean? We got to have you up there.
Yesterday was an interesting day because I get to camp, and it's raining all the way to camp. And I'm thinking this is they're going to be inside, which sucks, not for me, but for all the fans that were lined up out there, because they don't know. And you know, there had to be some fans lined up for at least an hour or so, and I felt so bad because, you know, you're just taking a chance with the weather when you come up here. You can listen to Gary Lezak, but still. By the time you hear Gary in the morning, you're already on your way up here. You're already in line up here, and so they had not made an official announcement on practice, and the practice time had already here, and so they decided, okay, we're going to go inside for a while and see how it is. But it was raining too hard, and I knew that they weren't going to go outside, and so all these fans left disappointed, and so that's number one why it sucked. It was raining yesterday because anyone that came up here did not get a chance to see the Chiefs practice, especially, you know, the kids. And so, but we get in there, and then you're in. It's a very nice. Have you been in the indoor practice facility up here, Nate?
It's
gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Right. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that they built as part of the Chiefs deal to come up here and do training camp, and it's awesome, right? And so, but there's one field. And they have the ability to have multiple fields in the outdoor facility so they can get a lot of work done with the different units. So then here you got one field, so they have to shrink it down. There's just not much room. I mean, there's not much room for the media. And, you know, if you've seen the outdoor setup for training camp, you've got the hills you could sit on for fans. You got the bleachers. And then up on top of the hill you got the tent where the media is, and they've got some chairs. They got the cooler with some drinks, and we're up on the hill, so we can kind of oversee everything. And a few of us have, you know, binoculars, and we can spread out because there's a lot of us, and especially a lot of the TV stations. Everyone has cameras, and so there's enough space for what we need. So inside, there's not hardly any space at all, and there's really no space for the cameras to stay set up. So the cameras can only be there for the first like 15 minutes of practice. And then the media all has to stay like in one little area you know, off between the 20-yard line and the end zone. And so then you're just standing. And normally that's fine. And I like to stand to watch practice. But, of course, with my back killing me, then it's – so that was not – and it was a longer practice. So that sucked. And then you can't really move around. But you got to have heads up, man. Because especially, like, if they're – you know, at one point we're all kind of in the corner of the end zone. They're throwing, you know, passes to the corner of the end zone. And momentum is carrying players out of the back of the end zone. And a couple of times, media members almost got taken out. And one time, a member of the chief staff was tried to get in front of a couple of players to keep them from going into the equipment, and he got taken out. They have these glass garage doors. One of the players face first in that. It's not funny, but we thought it was bad, but it wasn't. You know, he got right up. But you know, football. Let me point this out. It was off a bounce, but I saw a tremendous pair of soft hands from Matt Derrick that snagged a football off the bounce. Very quick reflexes and soft hands. Does that surprise you at all? Big mitts, soft hands, snagged that football out of the air, just tossed it right back to the assistant like it was nothing. And so that drew a little bit of an applause from the rest of the media. But there were a couple there's one football that Mahomes threw, and it was a fastball, and it came very close to Vahe Gregorian, and he got out of the way, and he was laughing because if it would have made contact, then I'm not sure Vahe Gregorian would have been writing a column anytime soon. And so there was some hazards up here covering the indoor practice. But let me tell you, if you're a football junkie and if you're up here like a member of the media just to watch everything, you're on the sideline. You're right there, and you're hearing everything, and you're seeing everything. And there was a lot of good on good yesterday. The ones, you know, the offense versus defense, it was awesome, man. And it was just like kind of, you know, you get those moments in our job and, you know, whatever various things that we get to do. And yesterday you just kind of like, man, I'm right here. I'm on the sideline and I'm watching everything and I'm hearing everything. And you just see everything up close. I took a couple of videos early on, and then you can't take videos, like I said, after the first few minutes of practice. But it was, you were just right in it. And I'm thinking, man, for someone that loves football, there's nothing better than this. It was, what an experience. And it's one of those things where you just kind of stop and you remind yourself how lucky you are to do the job that you do and how cool it is to be able to stand there and watch practice, and that's your job to report on it and do interviews afterwards. But we were on the sidelines, man, and that's not the plan. I'm sure that Andy Reid and the coaches aren't too thrilled about that because we're off in the corner right there. But it was I'd pay some pretty good admission to have that kind of action right there, man. It was awesome.
That's so cool. That actually reminds me of what we're doing. If you go to 810whb.com right now. Soccer Alarm, you can donate $25 to Children's Mercy Hospital and come and be a personal guest with me to a Sporting Kansas City practice. And if you're a soccer fan and you like to watch practice, you can be right there on the sideline and watch everything happen. But you're right, and that's why you're so good at what you do, is because you love it that much and because you're so excited to be there. But a lot of times when you go to camp, like you said, usually you're far away.
Yeah.
You're far away from the sights and sounds. The thing that I think when you're that close, they always say that the farther you get away from the field, the easier the game looks, right? Like if you're up in the stands, it looks like everything's kind of going pretty slowly. If you're way up high in the press box, it looks like, well, that guy was wide open. Why couldn't the quarterback see that, you know? Then the closer and closer you get, you realize how much velocity is on that throw from Patrick Mahomes and how quickly that ball arrives to the wide receivers. You know, you realize the physicality and the quickness of these big defensive linemen that kind of look like they're not moving that fast when you're up far away. But when you're right there and you can hear what it sounds like when they smash into each other and you can see up close how quickly they're moving and how much intensity there is in the practice, it gives you a completely different perspective on things. That's really great.
This will not shock you, but you know what, like one of the things that was just popped in my head, and this is you're going to take this the wrong way, and you probably should. Just the word that popped in my head. Travis Kelce is just an absolute stallion. I mean, no, just yeah. And I say that, and Susan just walks back into the room, and
yes, goes, that's right.
He is an absolute stallion. I mean, because you're seeing everyone, and just look when you know the size and the speed and the way everyone moves, and like you said, you're right. You feel like you're right there in the action, and watching him, just like he's a Hall of Famer, and we're talking about a guy that you could be the greatest in his position of all time, right? So yes, he is different. He is built different, but it's like a guy that big is not supposed to run that fast and move with such fluidity, and then you can hear, like, boy, man, like, it's iron sharpens iron. But I'm gonna tell you, Justin Reed, he has fits trying to cover Travis Kelce. Right? He had fits before, you know, when he was with Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of the words that Justin Reed says to himself after attempting to cover Travis Kelce, he's, you know. But just watching Kelce, like, good God, of course no one can cover him. Look at his routes. Look at the way he moves compared to everyone else. Look how big he is. And then you see defensive backs looking at each other like, what? Especially the young guys that really haven't been around this too much, you know, and they're like, look, what are we supposed to do? Like, what the hell are we supposed to do with this? And so that was just one of the, you know, big shock. Travis Kelce's awesome. He's a stallion. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, August 4th, 2022. Let me give you some comments from after practice yesterday, indoor practice. Here, Andy Reid talks about one of the stars of camp. We've talked about Justin Watson quite a bit, not only as a wide receiver, but a special team standout. Patrick Mahomes talked about how he called Veach and said, hey, where did you get this guy? This guy's fast. I like him. And Justin Watson spent some time in the offseason down in Texas with Patrick Mahomes. He's looked terrific. Here up at camp, here Andy Reid. I asked him about Justin Watson.
Coach, we're going to talk to Justin Watson here in a little bit. And Coach Tobe talked about how good he's looked on special teams. Can you tell us a little bit about how he's looked as a receiver in the offense so far?
Yeah, so he's done a nice job. Big target, big kid, tall, fast, smart, Penn grad, right? So he's got capacity there, and he's taking everything in and working hard. So, again, it's just working in the offense more and more and more. The reps that he gets are so important. He's working in with the ones, and the quarterback, he trusts him, which is a plus. But it's just a matter of more. Let's keep going. Back-to-back these practices, and that really goes for all the guys. The ups and downs aren't so good. You want to keep building on him. So he's been really working hard at that, and he's done a nice job, you know, so far.
He's listed at 6'2", 215, and, man, he can run. This is his fifth year in the league. He's 26 years old. He was formerly with Tampa Bay. And so later on, after Andy Reid spoke, we talked to a couple of other players. Justin Watson was brought to the podium. And so here he tells us what made him choose Kansas City during free agency.
Yeah, it was a challenging decision. You know, as you said, there's always been a history of great receivers here. And as a free agent in my position, you know, you want to go somewhere where there's a history of receivers, but there's also a spot for you on the team. And, you know, it was really our GM, Veach. He just spoke to my agent and just gave him a lot of confidence that, hey, if you come here, we're going to give you a chance. And that's all I wanted, was just to have a chance here, and I'm grateful the coaching staff has given me that so far.
Here I asked Justin Watson about special teams.
Coach Tobe mentioned you and your work on special teams and how impressed he was. Can you just talk about how you've been, you know, committed to special teams in the past and maybe how that played a role in your decision to come to Kansas City because they put such an emphasis on special teams?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you never want to play Kansas City when you're playing special teams. This is always a premier unit. And for sure, you know, to play for Coach Tobe and just such an emphasis, you know, the assistant head coach is our special teams coordinator. You can feel that it's important. You know, it doesn't even need to be said. You can just tell by how much time we put into it and the effort we put into it. So I love that. It's always been something that's been important to me. And you can feel it with a lot of the other guys. So it's cool after practice. We already see a lot of guys working with each other, competing, knowing that those last couple spots on the roster are going to be decided by special teams.
I hear Watson talks about meeting Patrick Mahomes for the first time.
Yeah, Pat's been awesome. You know, to, you know, me, I signed as a, you know, futures contract, and to reach out to me and invite me in the offseason before we ever met to come down there and work meant a big deal. You know, it definitely just showed me that he wanted to get to know who I was and wanted to see what I had to do. So those first couple of weeks were fun when we were just going through meetings virtually and we were hanging out and working out. He's got a great setup down there in Texas. You know, we went back after OTAs, and hopefully that can be a thing going forward.
Sounds like he called you out of the blue, and you just picked it up, and it was Pat.
Yeah, I just had a text that, "Hey man, it's Patrick Mahomes," and so I was, you don't get many of those texts during the off season.
How long did you spend in there?
I spent 2 weeks, and then another week after the OTAs.
Yeah. First got that text. Somebody was messing with you.
I definitely had to double check. Somebody could have got me pretty good because I didn't do anything to verify, but Texas area code was enough for me.
We'll hear more from Justin Watson after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Nate, let me play a couple more clips from Justin Watson since he's been talked about so much by Dave Tobe and by Patrick Mahomes and now Andy Reid. Here, Watson was asked a question he knew he was going to be asked about the transition from working with Tom Brady to now working with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I think, I learned a lot of lessons from Tom, but, man, every single rep mattered so much. It didn't matter if we were working on a field in the off season, or if it was training camp or in the game, that same focus and attention to detail carried over to every single one. And so working with Pat, you see so many of the same characteristics. You know, it's no surprise that two great quarterbacks are so similar in many ways, and just his competitiveness and mentality. And it's cool seeing Pat continue to grow, continue to make new throws, hearing him talk through the offense. So he's a great leader. I'm really thankful to be playing with a quarterback like Pat.
Now, Andy Reid said that Watson's already gained Patrick Mahomes' trust, and so I followed up on that comment with Watson.
Andy said it's pretty clear that you've already gained Patrick's trust. Can you sense that on the field? Do you feel that chemistry that's been built down in Texas and now through training camp?
Yeah, absolutely. It's cool when you start seeing plays the same way as the quarterback and things that might not be drawn on the playbook, but you both just have this feeling that, hey man, there's an opening outside if I break my route a certain way, and that Pat hits you right out of your break. So it's cool because that Pat has that ability to see the field and think past the playbook and see coverages, and so he speaks every day in our team meetings, and it makes it really clear what he wants from us at receiver.
Here Watson was asked what Mahomes is like as a teacher when working with the receivers.
He has such a great understanding of defenses, I think, is the first thing that shows. It's not just cover two, cover three. It's specific teams, how the Broncos run cover three, how the Chargers run cover three. So I think that's the first thing that stands out. He has an unbelievable understanding of the defense. But then he also knows, you know, a new guy, hey, here's the best way to explain it. If you see the far side safety crashing down, take it a little higher. You know, if the nickel pushes out to you, go inside. So he just does a great job of teaching without putting guys down, always trying to build people up, and I think that's a great leadership quality he has.
And then finally I asked Watson about working with a quarterback that has that creativity that Patrick Mahomes has.
You mentioned how Patrick can extend plays, get creative. How much does that change your mindset when you're out there at the You never give up on a route, never give up on a play, because he can make things happen long after other quarterbacks can't.
Oh, my gosh. It's so different. You know, there was a play in the film room. I was on the backside, and I was like 50 yards downfield, and I started slowing down because most quarterbacks can't make that throw across the field. And they said, hey, keep accelerating. If you're open, he'll find you. And sure enough, we've hit a couple of those already. So it's different. That doesn't matter how deep you are. If you're open, he's going to find you, and that's the truth.
So there's one of the most talked about players at camp so far in the offseason. Patrick Mahomes started it, and Dave Tobes followed up with it. There you and then our chance to talk to Justin Watson. Nate Bucati, any takeaways from his comments?
I just love listening to these guys talk about the type of leadership that Patrick Mahomes has. And I thought that was really articulate, what he said about not only his ability to understand every defense and his knowledge, his ability to communicate that to new players like Watson on the team in a way they can understand. That's an underrated part of coaching right there. Sometimes you have a coach or a leader who can understand things at a really high level, but they can't communicate it to the people that they're trying to lead in a way that they can understand, a way they can digest, or in a tone that makes them want to listen. You know, if you're condescending and disrespectful or things like that, you can turn people off. And that's, as you know, that's one of the things I feel like that's a vibe that Aaron Rodgers gives off a lot to his team. I think he gives off a lot of, I mean, you dopes need to get up to my level. And maybe I'm wrong about that. I mean, I'm reading it, you know, from a 30,000 foot view, you know. And Mahomes seems to have that way of being able to get on guys, but they know that he's mostly encouraging and positive and uplifting. And I think hearing from a new player like that just kind of crystallizes that what you see, the body language you see from Mahomes on the field, that's real. That sounds like that's exactly what he's like in the meeting rooms and all that.
Hey, Marco, do I have time to play one more clip?
Yeah, you got time.
Okay, I gave someone the kiss of death again yesterday when I talk about him too much and then something happens in camp.
Oh no!
And so, okay, first play Andy Reid number 3. He was asked another player that everyone's talking about, Isaiah Pacheco, the running back. Andy Reid was asked how he's looked so far in camp.
Yeah, he's got a little juice to him. Yeah, no, he's got good speed, toughness, all that. Look forward to getting him in a game and see how he does there. He's working hard on picking everything up and doing a nice job there.
So go look at my Twitter feed. I took a couple of videos while we were able to, just to give people a chance what practice looked like inside. And the first one, and I just tweeted out, practice starting indoors today due to the rain. And it was just like a set the scene. And look, and I didn't mean to catch it. I didn't know I caught it until after I looked at it. You can see Isaiah Pacheco muffing a punt on my quick video. If you want to take a look at that, Nate, and give me your reaction. I'm sorry. I feel like I caused that.
You know
I
what? Mean it. The punts are hard.
you got two people dropping it.
Oh, did I?
Mm-hmm. One towards the end also.
Well, catching punts has been an issue for the guys up here so far. Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, you can see we're right there, you know, with everything.
Yeah, so. Man, very close.
Well, so I apologize.
Oh, yeah. And I'm right in the breadbasket, too.
Oh, damn it. That's what practice is for, huh? Get that out of your system.
That's right.
Get ready for the season.
Fielding kickoffs is not that hard. Catching punts is hard. And that's actually very underrated thing about Tyreek Hill. He always caught the ball.
Hey, and also remember this, if there is an issue, if there is a problem with that at all during the season, Dave Tobe also said about Justin Watson, and he'll catch punts too. He's not the guy that you want, you know, to expect to, you know, they could do much with it. But he will catch punts. And so if we see a situation where anyone's having trouble catching punts, don't be surprised if they throw Watson in there, because Dave Tobe, you know, that's another thing. He just, one of those little nuggets he threw in there, we can rely on him to catch punts. Not a dynamic returner, but you've seen in a situation where, I don't know, close game or something happens where someone muffs a punt or drops a punt. He said, we could trust him. He'll catch the punt. So,
well, that's job number one. I mean, especially for this team, yeah, you'd like to get some big plays on your punt returns. But when you have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, the number one job is make sure he gets the ball. let him go make the plays and take the ball down the field and score for the team. That's by far job number one when it comes to punt returning for this team, as far as I'm concerned. Like, yeah, it's great if you can bust a couple of big returns, but you got to be real consistent when it comes to just catching the ball and holding on to it. And honestly, I mean, Mecole Hardman's gotten better at that, by the way. I don't know how he's looking in camp when it comes to fielding punts this year, but he really struggled with that his rookie year. Remember, he fumbled that one in the playoffs a couple years ago against the Bills, bounced back and made some big plays. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes being a positive leader, we all saw that video footage. But he's gotten better at it. But now they might not want to use him as much because he's going to be playing more at wide receiver. So somebody's going to have to step up there and become consistent.
You know, and again, I know that preseason football is not a must-watch for many football fans. But as Dave Tope said, this is going to be a big deal for the special teams units and to figure out who's going to be the punt returner and who's going to be the kick returner, because we're going to have to scale back with Mecole Hardman because he's a bigger part of the offense. And so is it going to be McDuffie? Sky Moore's never really done it. They're going to give him a run at it. Right now they like Pacheco at kick returner. Is he going to do enough to be able to hold on to that job, which will give him a spot on the football team? And who's going to be those four phase guys that he's looking to replace, Kemp and Neiman and Armani Watts and all the guys that he lost from last year's team? And so, I know it's not the sexiest thing in the world, but it'll win you or lose you a game. And he said it could go all three games for the preseason. It's going to be very, very important as they try to rebuild the special teams after so many losses from the last couple of years. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Willie Gay Jr. after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk defense now. Let's hear from linebacker Willie Gay Jr. And I asked Willie Gay Jr. about leadership and if he's stepping into that role now that guys like Anthony Hitchens and Tyrann Mathieu are gone.
With a couple of the leaders like Hitch and Mathieu leaving from last year, do you take it upon yourself maybe to fill that void and be more of a vocal leader and kind of lead by example out there on the field?
Oh, yeah. You know, I definitely feel like my role has increased. You know, like you say, those two guys were big parts of this defense, of this team. So now, man, I feel like me and Nick both, we have bigger roles to fill and to lead this defense, to lead this team on the defensive side and just do what we need to do to make sure we are in position to lead. So,
Willie Gay Jr. told us about one goal he has for this year.
Give me a lot of confidence. You know, I got goals to lead linebackers in the NFL and interceptions this year. So when Pat throws me some, I know the other quarterbacks will because they're not as good as him. So, you know.
Do you ever say anything to Pat or does he ever say anything to you?
Oh, nah. I ain't that cocky.
He had a pick six earlier in camp, and he had a nice interception in the end zone yesterday. But he ain't that cocky. But, man, he looks good in coverage right now. Really, really good. Or Willie good.
Well, Nate. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you did there.
That's good stuff right there. And so, you know, with so many new faces on the defense and rookies and young players, I asked Willie about how long it took for him to feel comfortable in Spag's defense.
A lot of rookies on this team, on the defense. How long did it take you before you felt comfortable with Spag's defensive playbook? You're in year three now. How long did it take you where you felt like you knew everything you needed to know?
You know, every day, man, we're growing and we're learning more and more. You can never be perfect, I feel. You know, that's how I take it on. And, I mean, I'm good now, of course. Like, I feel like this is going to be a great year mentally for us all, that we can execute our plays and run the scheme well. And so I feel like we're in a good spot, so we're going to do it, man.
Here's Willie Gay talking more about his ability to help this team in pass coverage.
Coming out of college, man, I was a guy I feel like was drafted because of my coverage ability. And, man, like, I feel like I dropped four of them last year, you know, Cowboys, Broncos, you know, I feel a couple other teams I can say. And I feel like, man, if I make those opportunities and, you know, make the play, that's like 5-6 interceptions last year. So this year, man, I really can take it to the next level. I know that for a fact, so I'm definitely going to do that.
And Willie Gay Jr. was asked about what he sees from rookie Isaiah Pacheco in camp.
Well, first off, TN, man, Pacheco, he reminds me of my running back in college, Colin Hill. He just got so much juice when he runs, man. I feel like he's a great addition to the room. And Clyde, you know, Jet, Rojo, all the guys over there, you know, I hope I ain't missing anyone. But it's just a great room, a room full of skilled backs that can spread you out in a pass game and run it up inside if they need to. So it's a great room.
And finally here, Willie Gay Jr. Tells us the advice he gives to the rookies during camp.
You know what? It's a good question, man, because I remind myself of that every day, that I did come from that point, you know, and I was the rookie one day that didn't know the playbook and was, you know, felt like I didn't belong here at times. And when I see the guys, you know, the undrafted guys struggling a little bit, I tell them, we're going to get it. You know, don't cram your minds right before practice. Just stay focused. Do your part. Do what you need to do. You know, you're going to mess up. You can't be perfect in this game. You know, we got one of the most, you know, complex defenses in the league. So, you know, I tell them all the time, just take it one day at a time, and, you know, we'll get it as we go along. So
there was one clip where he said in an earlier answer, I think someone had followed up and asked him again the question I'd asked him in a different way, you know, how long it took you to feel comfortable in the defense. And he said that at one point in his rookie year, he almost felt like giving up because he wasn't getting it, and he wasn't getting the playing time that he wanted. But you know, there were some veterans around him that helped him and mentored him. And then things started to click for him his second year, and everything changed. And so that's why he was saying there that he reminds himself that some of those guys could be going through that right now, where you can feel overwhelmed and you feel like, you know, I'm not getting this. I'm struggling. And so he says that's why he said he tries to help those guys, because he went through it and he had a tough rookie year, and he was pretty open and honest about that. So I thought that was, what did you say, Marco? I'm sorry. I heard you say something in my ear.
Just giving you time.
No, thanks. Appreciate you. But I thought that was pretty open and honest with, how he talked about it. He said it, because I kind of almost felt like giving up my rookie year. But I didn't, and things clicked for me in year two, and I'm ready to roll year three. So I thought that was really interesting. We'll get more comments from what Nate thought of Willie Gay Jr.'s comments after this on WHB.